This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellens. With me on the phone is Michael Tilley, who is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com. And Michael, most times at the end of a year, say the last 15 days or so, the news world slows down, especially in a non-election year. That has not been the case this week.
No, it's not been the case, so it makes you wonder, you know, what's going to happen when the year cranks back up, and as you noted, it will be an election year next year. You and I are going to meet each other coming and going.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Well, let's talk about the latest edition of the Compass Report that was issued this week and put online at the City Wire. Encouraging economic numbers for both Northwest Arkansas and the Fort Smith Metro, if I'm reading it correctly.
Yes, you are, and it's no surprise, Northwest Arkansas just continues to be red hot, and you know, we even have analysis that looks at what that may mean in the future in terms of the political and business relationship and landscape in Arkansas between Northwest Arkansas and Central Arkansas. You know, for forever, since the history of Arkansas, Central Arkansas has been the it's been the hub. Well, if we continue to see this trend in Northwest Arkansas, at some point, you know, when do those two regions begin to vie for the first, the largest metro area in Arkansas? So that's an interesting angle from that report. For the Fort Smith area report, I had someone liken it. They read it and said it's like Fort Smith has been, a patient with a really bad disease, and the doctor finally says, well, it looks like we've got the disease. The disease is gone. Now you're just going to have to recover.
Get stronger.
Get your energy back. And so I think that's the good news for that Fort Smith report. It showed essentially a trend now of several quarters where I think the best thing we can say is that all the losses, the hit that the region took after 2008, hopefully that region has bottomed out and it's on its way up. It's going to have a long ways to go. I mean, the workforce is still considerably smaller than it was several years ago. For example, the number of employed in the MSA is just under 124,000 now, and that was almost 131,000 in 2006. So it gives you some idea of the recovery that will be needed. But I think the good news is maybe the bleeding has stopped in the metro area. In Central Arkansas, our Central Arkansas report, they're stable. They're not growing. They're not really falling back, but it's just kind of a muted economy, so to speak.
Well, over the past several years, when you have done some stories, whether it was with a Compass report or just a different story talking about the Fort Smith economic viability, something that comes up over and over is diversify. The manufacturing can't be as big a player as it once was just because of changing technology. So to that degree, the announcement or the possibility of an osteopath school in Fort Smith is good news, right?
Well, it is, and it's a long way off. They have several hurdles to jump through. No significant hurdles, but just a lot of paperwork. All the pieces kind of have to fall into place. But I can tell you, when I first heard about this, I was cynical that it would ever come together. And I guess maybe as a journalist, that's my job. But after talking to some of the folks behind this, pushing this, the one thing is the money there is, the money is there for it, from that Fort Smith Regional Healthcare Foundation. So in terms of a major hurdle, you've pushed past that. The money's there for it. That foundation was funded when HMA bought Sparks Health System back in 2009. So the money hurdle's over now. It's just the paperwork and getting it in place. The only controversy I've seen is that there's some, in the medical community, there's some maybe snobbery is not the right word, but osteopathy is not not the on the same level, some would say, as traditional medicine. But regardless, if you can create a facility that's eventually housing 600 students, and from my selfish perspective, I'd like to see that in a downtown Fort Smith setting. That'd be great for that area. But that could be a game changer for the economy, contributing about $100 million a year in terms of economic impact. That's their initial estimate. The low end of that estimate is $75 million. Either one of those would be good for Fort Smith.
Well, if that's a possible arrival in our region, a likely departure now, the corporate offices for Allen's based in Siloam Springs.
Right. I don't want to say that it's certain that they'll lose their corporate presence, but it's not looking good for Siloam, and that's a hit. Siloam's really made a lot of progress. They've benefited from a lot of the growth in Northwest Arkansas. We often, when we talk about Northwest Arkansas, we talk about just the four cities, Fayetteville, Springdale, Rogers, and Bentonville, but Siloam Springs has really done well. Their downtown area is really, really looking good. So, you know, how many of these hundreds of jobs do not remain? And just to catch the listener up, you know, Allen's is in bankruptcy, and then Seneca Foods, a company out of New York, state of New York, is agreed to buy them, and Allen's has agreed to the purchase. So if that goes through, you know, the Allen's Foods, you know, some of the facilities, warehouses, those type of things may stay in place, but Seneca already has its corporate headquarter presence. I doubt it's going to need a second one.
Exactly. I do want to point listeners to something. You have on thecitywire.com something called Outside the Wire, where you find articles or opinion pieces from other publications that have some relevance to this region. There's one from Forbes that you posted earlier this morning that's talking about the possible potential financial impact for Walmart created by this Duck Dynasty controversy.
Well, and it's, you know, as we talked about before we recorded this, you know, when you put a lot of eggs in one basket, you want to hope that the bottom doesn't fall out of that basket. And, you know, Forbes estimates there is over $400 million in Duck Dynasty-related retail sales in the U.S. in the past 12 months. That's a lot. That's huge. And roughly 50% of that, they estimate, comes from Walmart. So $200 million. Now, for a company that makes $13 to $15 billion a year, let's not get crazy and say $200 million is going to hurt them. But you know what you also have to think about is if they're in there buying the Duck Dynasty stuff, what else are they buying? You know, is that something to get the people in the store? So it isn't. It is. I'm sure that the folks in Bentonville, there on 8th Street, were not happy when this controversy arose.
Finally, a towering figure in the Fort Smith legal circles, Eddie Christian, passed this week.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. A friend of mine who's in the legal business, said the last bastion of a good defense attorney has passed away, and he was quite a character, well respected. Even the attorneys that he took to school, so to speak, in the courtroom, respected him. He wasn't one of those gotcha attorneys. He just knew his business. He knew the law, and you know, there used to be an old joke that if you were afraid that you were about to commit a felony or some crime, the first thing you'd do is go put Eddie Christian on retainer, because he was good in that regard. But it is a tough loss for the legal community, that's for sure. And it's kind of a double loss. Eddie Christian Jr., who was going to carry that mantle on. Remember, Eddie Christian Jr. was the one that went after the university over Houston Nutt.
That's right.
But his son passed away 3 years ago. So it's a tough loss for the Christian family.
Well, Michael Tilley, thank you again for a wonderful 2013 with your help. You and I will not talk for a couple of weeks. We have a couple of special editions of Ozarks at Large in the next two Fridays. I'll talk to you again in early 2014. How's that?
All right. And you have a great holiday season as well.
Thank you, sir.
In just a moment on Ozarks at Large, nanotechnology continues to bloom at the University of Arkansas and in Northwest Arkansas. A Springdale-based company that began on the U of A campus is included on a 2013 list of top inventions. And later, the Early Morning Bourbon Girls were not just any band.
But I remember Meredith and I both being pretty terrified, but particularly Meredith.
Oh,
and
man.
I, you know, I'm just, any chance I get to be on a stage, and I'm there, loving it. And Meredith was writing these great songs, and they were incredible. And I remember in the early stages of Pity Sing and just being like, oh, Meredith, please sing into the microphone. This is amazing. Yeah. And I would intentionally sing really, really loud so that she could not hear herself unless she started to push it, you know? Yeah. And I remember that we changed a lot and our voices grew a lot together.
The founders of the Early Morning Bourbon Girls talk about how they began, how the band grew, and what to expect from this month's reunion show in Fayetteville. That's in about 15 minutes on Ozarks at Large.
On the next Fresh Air Weekend, the Coen brothers discuss their new film Inside Llewyn Davis about a struggling folk singer in Greenwich Village in 1961. And we talk about the new film Anchorman 2 with Will Ferrell, who returns as Ron Burgundy, and Adam McKay, who directed both Anchorman films and co-wrote them with Ferrell. Join us.
Sunday at 6 p.m. on KUAF.